We continue now with our second shiur, Beis HaDaf Beis Amid Aleph. This is Rabbi Larry Rothwax, Magid Shiur for the Daf HaShavua program in conjunction with OU Torah, the Daf HaShavua Foundation, and Congregation Beth Aaron. We began last time with the Mishnah on Beis Amid Aleph, which describes the case of a Beis HaShenolda V'Yom Tov, an egg which is laid on Yom Tov. And the Mishnah tells us that there is a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to whether or not it is permissible to eat this egg on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai omrim teochel. Beis Shammai says that an egg which is laid on Yom Tov may be eaten, as Rashi says, bo bayom, that very day. Beis Hillel omrim lo teochel. Beis Hillel say that it is not permissible to eat that egg on that day. And the Gemara, which we had seen as well, begins with a discussion trying to understand what type of hen are we talking about over here. The chicken which lays this egg, is it an tarnagolas homedes lachila? Is it a chicken which has been designated for the purpose of consumption? And if that's the case, my time ayud Beis Hillel. What could best possibly be the reason for Beis Hillel, who rules stringently over here and say that it is prohibited from eating this egg? After all, the tarnagolas itself is considered food. The chicken itself may be consumed on Yom Tov, in which case the egg, says the Gemara, is uchla de ifras, which really means it's food separated from food. Just as a person can take a slice of bread from a loaf of bread on Yom Tov, what should be wrong with taking an egg from a chicken which is itself considered to be food? If, on the other hand, says the Gemara, we are talking about a tanagoles ho'omedes legadel beitzim, if we're talking about a chicken which has been designated for the purpose of laying eggs, my tamayu de Beis Shammai. What then could be the reason for Beis Shammai who say that it is permissible to eat this egg? After all, muksahi. The egg should be considered muksa because it did not exist when Yom Tov began. This is a case of nolad. So the Gemara wonders what could be the circumstances in which the Mishnah is describing over here. So what we're going to see today is the first of four opinions that the Gemara is going to present in helping us understand what this machlokes is. So Rav Nachman begins about halfway down the Amud. Amar Rav Nachman, the olam tarnagolas omedes lagadol beitzim. Rav Nachman says we're talking about over here about a case of the tarnagolas which has been designated for the purpose of laying eggs. Ude islay muksa islay nolad, ude leslay muksa leslay nolad. The Gemara says as follows: we have seen previously that there is a difference of opinion between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda as to how far, how broadly we extend the concept of muksa. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we are rather strict when it comes to muksa on Shabbos, that we have a very broad application of the dinim of muksa, and the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is le muksa, is le nolad. He would also subscribe to the concept of nolad, that something which is created on Shabbos and Yom Tov is going to be prohibited. However, the less le muksa, one who has a very lenient position regarding muksa, and does not have as broad of an application regarding the laws of muksa, less lay nola. Such an opinion would not necessarily rule stringently when it comes to nola, namely something which is created on the day itself. So it comes out, says Rav Nachman, Beis Shammai ki Rebbe Shimon, u Beis Hillel ki Rebbe Yehuda. We had wondered what could be the basis for Beis Shammai, who says that it is permissible to eat this egg on Yom Tov. So Rav Nachman says very simply, Beis Shammai holds like Rebbe Shimon. We see that Rav Shimon less lay muksa, and just like Rav Shimon less lay muksa, less lay nolad. Just like Rav Shimon is very lenient when it comes to muksa, so too he will be lenient when it comes to nolad, and Beis Shammai follows that opinion. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, Rav Yehuda. Beis Hillel, who say that it is prohibited to eat this egg, bo bayom, on that day. So that opinion reflects the position of Rav Yehuda, who is very strict when it comes to muksa, and presumably would follow that same opinion when it comes to nolad as well. Says the Gemara, Umiyama Rav Nachman Hachi. But is it possible to say that Rav Nachman would actually maintain such a view? Vatnan, we learn a Mishnah which discusses the following case. Just a little background over here. We know that when we come to the table on Shabbos to eat, so it is permissible to handle the food that we are eating. Food is not considered muksa. However, sometimes what happens is that there are remnants or byproducts of food such as bones from chicken or meat, or perhaps shells from nuts, which are no longer roi l'achila. They're no longer fit for consumption. In which case, the Mishnah discusses over here, what can I do with these remaining atzamos and klipin at the table, these bones and these shells at the table that are no longer roi l'achila? and are really muksa. So Beishamai Yomrim, Magbihin Me'al HaShulchan HaShamasu Klipin. Beishamai said, just like I could bring the food to the table in the first place, I could remove it, and I can handle these bones and shells directly, and there's no concern whatsoever in muksa. U'Beishillel Yomrim, Beishillel however disagree, and they say, you cannot handle this food directly, so what must be done? Mesalek es atavla kula uminara. Beishillel say, I must go ahead and lift the entire table board. This sounds like almost like a tablecloth, a board that was on the table, which the food rests upon that board. So Beishillel said, if you want to go ahead and discard the atavla klipin, you have to lift the entire board. Says Rashi, why does that help? After all, you're still moving the muksa objects. So Rashi explains that the tavla is considered a kli. It has a shame kli from before Shabbos. And therefore, even though there is muksa on top of it, I'm permitted to go ahead to lift the entire board and use that a way to shake off the atzamus and the klipin. That is permissible. So we see a machlokes here between Beishamai and Beishillel regarding the handling of muksa on Shabbos. So far, so good. However, says the Gemara of the Amr of Nachman, Rav Nachman himself, the same Rav Nachman who is suggesting over here that Beishamai is lenient and Beishillel is strict when it comes to muksa, he says, Anu ein lanu, which means, we do not have this tradition. Says Rashi, Kach shamati me rabosenu. I have a different tradition as to how this Mishnah is to be read. Ela Beishamai k'Rabbi Yehuda u'Beishillel k'Rabbi Shimon. In other words, the way we have it, the way it appears to us, Beishamai is lenient and Beishillel is strict. Rav Nachman, however, says, I have a different tradition. According to my tradition, Beishamai has the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Beishamai is the one who say that you have to go ahead and lift the entire tavla, the table board, and that is the manner in which you can discard the muksa. U'Beishillel to Rabbi Shimon. Beishillel, in fact, is the one who says that it is permissible to handle the atzamos and the klipin directly, just like Rabbi Shimon. So that's going to be a problem for us, because if we're going to say the Rav Nachman is going to resolve the question in our Mishnah by telling us that Beishamai is lenient when it comes to Muksa, Beishillel is strict. Well, the problem is Rav Nachman himself teaches that Beishamai is strict when it comes to Muksa in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and Beishillel are lenient in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So we have a problem now. So the Gemara, in an attempt to resolve this question, says something very fascinating. We are now five lines from the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph. Amalach Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman would say the following to you. He says there's going to be a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And just by way of introduction, before we read on in the Gemara, there is a concept in the Gemara known as a Stam Mishnah. A Mishnah which has been presented that is not attributed to any particular Tana. Often, when we have a Mishnah or a Braisa, there is a name or several names that are associated with that particular Shita. However, sometimes we have a Mishnah which is called a Stam Mishnah, which is anonymous for all intents and purposes. There is no name that's associated with it. And Rashi explains that we have a general principle that the halacha follows a Stam Mishnah. So we pay extra attention, so to speak, to a Stam Mishnah. So Rav Nachman says as follows, by Gabi Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, Sosam Lantana Karabi Shimon, we have a Stam Mishnah which follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, meaning a more lenient understanding of the laws of Muksa. Where do we find that? The Tanan, we have a Mishnah, again, note that this is a Stam Mishnah, there's no name here. Mechatchin es adeluin lefnei abehema, there's a nevela lefnei akalavim. The Mishnah over here is talking about preparing food for animals on Shabbos. The Mishnah says two separate dinim. Number one, mechatchin es adeluin lefnei abehema, that it is permissible to chop up gourds into pieces for an animal to eat on Shabbos. Says Rashi, even though this is something that would involve a tircha, an effort, we would not call this a tircha delav tzorachu. We would not say that this is an unnecessary effort. Rather, we say that it is permissible to prepare food for animals in this manner. Vesa nevela lefnei akalavim. Nevela means a carcass of an animal for the dogs to eat. Rashi says over here, we are talking over here about an animal which died on Shabbos itself. In other words, when Shabbos began, this animal was not considered to be dog meat. It was walking around. And then suddenly, unexpectedly, it died. So I would think that it would be muksa. Comes along a Stam Mishnah by Shabbos and says it's not muksa. That I could take the nevela and cut up its carcass and give it to the kalavim, give it to the dogs. So what do we see? We see that by Shabbos, we have a Stam Mishnah which is very lenient when it comes to Muksa. So Mukim lo lo Beis Hillel k'Reb Shimon. So we are forced, as Rashi, to say that Beis Hillel followed Reb Shimon. Why? Because we have another principle that the Halacha follows Beis Hillel. Well, if the Halacha follows a Stam Mishnah, and the Halacha follows Beis Hillel, so that means that Beis Hillel has to agree with the Stam Mishnah. In this case, says Reb Nachman, Beis Hillel follows the opinion of Reb Shimon, who will be lenient regarding the application of the laws of Muksa on Shabbos. Aval continues the Gemara on the top of the next Amud. However, Gabi Yomtiv, when it comes to Yomtiv, the Sosam Lantana to Reb Yehuda. Now we have a Stam Mishnah that follows the opinion of Reb Yehuda, who's strict by Muksa. The Tanan, it says, Ein Mevakim Eitzim Nakoros, V'lo Menakora Shenishbara B'Yomtov. You may not chop up wood, which has been designated for the purpose of construction. Says Rashi, Hakoros Hasduros Zuagabizu B'Karkova Omdos Labinyan. We're talking over here about wood that has been set aside and designated for the purpose of construction. It was not meant to be used for firewood. Now, Yomtov, I decide, you know what, I'm going to take some of this wood, chop it up and use it as firewood. Says the Mishnah, you can't do that because the wood is muksa. You can't build on Yom Tov, so I can't take construction wood and decide to change its function on Yom Tov. V'lo menakora, menakora is talking about, v'lo menakora shenishbara, excuse me, is talking about furniture, let's say, which is broken. You have broken pieces of wood. Here as well, I cannot take this and chop it up and use it for firewood because, again, it's having a status change on Yom Tov itself. When Yom Tov began, this was a piece of furniture. Now I want to convert its status by deciding to use it for firewood. I can't do that. So what do you see? By Yom Tov, we have a Stam Mishnah, which is strict when it comes to the laws of Muksa. So Mukim Lo LeBeis Hillel K'Reb Yehuda. But again, the Stam Mishnah is going to have to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, because the Halacha is K'Stam Mishnah. The Halacha is like Beis Hillel. So here we see that Beis Hillel follow the opinion of Reb Yehuda. So what emerges is something quite fascinating, and that is that Beis Hillel are going to rule that there's going to be a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. When it comes to Shabbos, we're going to have a more lenient view of Muksa, whereas when it comes to Yom Tov, we're going to have a more strict view when it comes to Muksa, which needs to be explained, and actually that's going to be the discussion in the Gemara that follows, which we'll see in the next year. But Gemara basically says that Rav Nachman, who is of the opinion that Beis Shammai in our Mishnah, who rule, again, very leniently when it comes to Muksa, that makes sense. Because Beis Shammai is of the opinion that when it comes to the laws of Yom Tov, we are going to be lenient when it comes to Muksa, and Beis Hillel are going to be strict. However, when it comes to Shabbos, which of course is not the discussion in our Mishnah, when it comes to Shabbos, it's going to come out exactly the opposite. That Beis Hillel are going to be lenient when it comes to Muksa on Shabbos. Just one point that I'd like to conclude with, and that is that there's a fascinating Tosos over here. This is the third to last Tosos in Beis HaMinalev, Tosos Diva Machlo with Beis Hillel. And Tosos wonders, why is it that it is permissible to go ahead and lift the tavla, the table board, which we had discussed in the Mishnah, and which upon which the asamos and the klip and the bones and the shells are resting? After all, the board is what's called the basis l'davar ha'asar. It is a base which is serving as something which is holding the davar asur, in this case the muksa. And in general, we have a rule that whenever you cannot move muksa, you also cannot move the basis, the base upon which it is resting. So Tosfos gives three different possible solutions to this problem, all of which we're not going to discuss in great detail now, but all of this have practicality as far as the halacha is concerned. The Shlomer says Tosfos, the Lepeirish Rabbeinu Tam Nicha. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we can explain this very well. The Pirish Masecha Shabbos, Rabbeinu Tam explains elsewhere, Masecha Shabbos, the lo havi basus l'davar aser, ela kashizayt l'anicha sham kolayom. Rabbeinu Tam says that something is only considered a basis l'davar aser when the one who placed the muksa on this basis did so with the intention that it would remain there for the entire day. But over here, clearly, the asamos and the klipin, the bones and the shells, were not placed there with the intention for it to remain there all day. Therefore, the base, the tavla, does not come a basis l'davar aser. Inami, so this tells us another possibility, another possibility is there's other food or there are other objects on top of this tabla. It's not just the atzamos and the klipit, not just the muksa. And so therefore, this is called a basis l'davar asav ramutar. It is a base which is serving to hold not only the muksa, but also non-muksa objects. And when it comes to a basis l'davar asav ramutar, it is permissible to move such a basis. Tosos quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Beis. And finally, says Tosos, the third teretz, va'od, de'ein zemeniach v'kavana, de'ein l'choshe sheichan yiplu. The third possibility over here is, when the atzamasu klipin were placed on the table, they were not placed b'kavana. The one who placed it there was not makbid that it should go in a particular place on the table or on the table at all. It just happens to be that's where they landed. And the din is that something only becomes a basis when the one who places it there b'kavana. One has to intend to place the muksa object on top of the basis, and only then does it have a status of muksa. And so Tosfos uses these three possible answers in order to resolve this question as to how it is that according to Beis Hillel you can go ahead and remove the tavla. The answer is we could move it because it's not considered a basis of davar asa, either because it was not placed there with the intention to stay there all day, or because it's a basis of davar asa v'amutter, there are also non-muksa objects on top of this basis, or finally because of the fact that it was not placed there b'kavana, they just happened to fall there, and in that case we do not say that this is considered to be a basis which would be prohibited to move. We will continue, Blineder, next time with the Gemara on the top of Beis Hamikdash.